was blessed by everything that I heard.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Amen. Once again, I would like to thank all of the visitors who are here.
Yes.
And I want to give a big shout out to our visitors. We thank you for being with us today. We certainly hope you have enjoyed us as much as we have enjoyed you.
Amen.
Amen. We enjoy you so much, and we thank God for your presence. Amen. So since time is short, this message is pretty deep and it's pretty necessary. So we're not going to do it today. That's what's going to happen, because I don't want to butcher this particular message. So I want to say this, though. Please return on next Sunday. Amen. We will get this message done. But there is still a word from the Lord.
Amen.
And we do want to talk about just a few things here today. Just to consider where we are. Now, you see, the whole idea to me of the Black History Remembrance is just to remind us that people misuse God's word. There are people who have misused the word. And you have people today who try to blame the word for the problem. But what I would have to admonish people to do is study the word for yourself. And you'll find out that whoever did what they did that was wrong against black people did it because they twisted what God said. It was not that they were doing what God said. And people have said to us that people try to use the word to manipulate and control black people and all that. But don't fall into the lie.
No way.
That's what I want to warn you today. Don't fall into the lie. God has never been privy to anyone being held in slavery or any of those kind of things that go on. And if you read the Bible, you'll find out for yourself that God loves you.
Yes, sir.
And that's the reason why he brought us through all the stuff we went through.
That's right.
And keep this in mind, that we weren't the first people that were enslaved. The Israelites were enslaved. You see that in the Bible. You read the word. You find out that God's chosen people who he formed. Some of you, I don't know how well you know the history of the Jews, for example. We just use them for just to get an understanding. We find that this was a people that we find in the book of Genesis in chapter 12 did not exist. And so God caused them to come into existence.
Yes,
have you ever thought of it that way?
Yes, he did.
Because he called Abraham, it says, in the book of Genesis. And I'm going to ask you to turn there if you have your Bible handy. We'll turn to the book of Genesis. We're going to look in chapter number 12. And I just want you to see this because I think it is pertinent to where we are today.
Yes.
And what we should expect from God.
Amen.
And I want you to know, whoever you are and however you got here today, God loves you.
Yes,
he loves you just like you are. Mm-hmm. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And so God selects you. If you believe him, it's not because you had enough strength or smarts or whatever it takes. The Bible says in 1 John 4 that we love him because he first loved us. And so I want you to know, like right where you are, exactly the way you are, without any changes in anything you're doing, God loves you. And this is how God works. Genesis 12, the first verse says this. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. That's Genesis 12, the first three verses. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you about the universal blessing of Almighty God that he has manifested to the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. These are the critical elements of the gospel. And in honor of St. Patrick's Day, just so you know, I did bring in a green thing to clean my glasses with here today, and I'm speaking into a green microphone. Amen. Just kidding. But in either case, I do want you to know that the gospel story starts at the very beginning of the Bible. It starts all the way back when man first fell into sin. And the fact is, God always has loved man. Do you know this?
Always.
Now, this is something I want you to know and understand for yourself today. God has always loved you.
That's right.
Every second you've been in the world. He loved you before you came into the world. When you were in your mother's womb, God loved you.
Yes.
That's what he told Jeremiah.
Yes.
He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you.
Yes.
and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5.
Yes.
See, Jeremiah said, oh, don't send me out to speak for you, God. I'm just a child. And I don't know how to go out or how to come in. And you're giving me a big job to go and talk to your people. Mm-hmm. But God said, don't say that you are but a child, Jeremiah.
That's right.
Understand that there was a destiny in your life that God has ordained. And he did this before you were born.
Yes. Amen.
And he loves you just like you are.
Amen.
However you are, he made you and gave you the right to be a human being and to have every right equally. And that's the thing that God always has done.
That's right.
But man, and throughout the years, has always twisted and perverted God's purpose. And that's how we end up with stuff like slavery.
Yep.
And people who are into capitalism to the point where they don't care about people.
Yep.
And they're into greed and all of that. And there are some things that cause man to stumble away and do the things that they do. But don't ever blame God for that.
Never.
I want you to know, because you're here, that God has wanted you to be here for this occasion because he loves you just like you are.
Amen.
What we have in the whole thing, and I'm going to put some things in a nutshell and try to get out the message here pretty quickly for you this morning. I want you to understand that from Genesis 1 all the way up to chapter 11 was a one sector where God talks about how he made everything.
Yeah.
In the chapter 12, he starts to streamline down to a particular group of people who he intends to work with throughout all of history.
Yeah.
And he starts that with the person we just read about, Abraham. That's why he is called the father of the faithful. He came out of the land of idolatry. He was in Ur of the Chaldees. That's where people worship statues and they worshiped all kinds of images and false gods. But the true God came to him in his mess right where he was, and he told him, get out of your country. Get away from your kindred. Come into a land that I'll show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless him who blesses you, curse him who curses you, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He promised to bless the world through the seed of Abraham. And what happens now is this is the first time God made a division in humanity. From Genesis 1 all the way up until Genesis 12, the whole group of people were called the Gentiles. These are just the nations or the people. It says in the Bible, you can follow this up with some research, or if you have questions, come visit us on Tuesday for Bible study. We'll be happy to break some of this out for you and give you some more support. But I want you to see that when God called Abraham, he separated him from all the Gentiles. He did it for a purpose. His purpose was to bless the whole world.
Yeah.
You know what happened before? The world was destroyed back in the book of Genesis chapter 6 in the days of Noah. There was a great flood that destroyed everyone but 8 souls. And that's what the history of the world was. And it was so bad, it got so bad, the scripture says that every thought of the imagination of man's heart was only evil.
Amen.
Continually.
Amen.
And you know what? I see that now in our world. Now, there's so much evil going on now. I can't count how many times on the news this past month I heard this phrase. Well, that never happens here. It was something happening in Ladue or in Chesterfield or some little town in Illinois or somewhere like Parkland, Florida. Oh, that never happens here. People are astonished at how things are happening right now that never happened here. Well, we moved away from the city to get away from that. Now we're over here, and you know, but the fact is, it's not the brand. People act like they don't know what's wrong. In fact, they don't know what's wrong.
Amen.
But I know what's wrong. What happened is about 50, 60 years ago in this country, we declare, oh, we don't need God anymore. We don't need the Bible anymore. Take the Bible out of school. The Bible used to be the number one subject studied in the schools until about 50 years ago. People don't have a general knowledge of who God is and the fact that he loves you. And he has provided for you. He gave his son for you.
Yes,
and all that. We don't know that now. It's not common general knowledge.
Amen.
And all kinds of false religions have come against the truth.
Amen.
And people are scattered. And they don't know what to think. A lot of the millennials, as they call them, the new younger age of generation of people, don't even believe 90% of what the scriptures teach.
Amen. Right.
They think it's questionable. It's an option. We can take it. We can leave it.
Right.
And what happens when the general fear of the Lord does not govern over a society? Like in American culture, it was number one for hundreds of years of American history. See, now in the last 50 years, it has been set to the back and pushed out of the culture. And so that's going to have an impact on the culture that we are now seeing. We witness what happens when you have generations that are raised without the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Who don't believe in the true God.
Amen.
And you know what? You have the calendar to testify that Jesus Christ is Lord, because it's 2018 based on his birth.
Amen.
Not on anybody else. God did that. That's an indelible credential that God put into the whole system of time in the world is centered around Jesus Christ, his son.
Amen.
See, so you can deny the Bible, you can throw it out, but you can't deny the calendar.
Amen.
The calendar is telling you that Christ Jesus was born 2018 years ago. Now today it's popular to think any old thing in religion or any kind of old faith is good. That was never the case in America.
Amen.
So the moral situation of America declined greatly in the last 50 years. I suspect it will get worse.
Amen.
But what happened in the first 6 chapters of the Bible is that it went from the way it was in the garden until it was so bad that God said that he felt sorry that he had created man upon the earth. But people weren't thinking about God. So in Genesis 12, just to wrap up my thoughts here, he calls Abraham out of the group of people. God is calling you out today. Come out. Trust him. Walk with him by faith. Realize he loves you and he has never changed. No matter what the culture has done, no matter what society has done, God has never changed. That's one of the best characteristics about God that you could ever remember. Is the theologians call it immutability. That means God does not change. The reason he does not, there's nothing to change. He is perfect in every way. You see, he has never moved a second. He's not worried about anything. He's got everything together, and he keeps everything going all the time. And he loves you because he loved man when he made him. After God had made everything in the world, he did it in 6 days, the Bible says. And when he got through, he said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over everything that we have made."
Amen.
See? And so God gave man dominion, right? Because he loved him.
Amen.
When Adam sinned, that's what turned everything around. One sin of Adam brought the whole world crashing into a situation of sin where every thought of the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. Now what happened? They got farther away from God and more into things that we're going to talk about next week, so I hope you'll come back. But I want you to know where God was going with this when he called Abraham. He told him, "Get out of your country." In other words, nationality really is not what you need. That's not going to get you where you need to be. Get out of away from your kindred. Don't trust in your relatives and your friends. And get out of your father's house. That's the closest relatives to you. Come on over here and trust me. God wants everyone, not necessarily to abandon anyone. We hope all your other people like Lot, he had enough sense to say, whatever he's doing, I'm going with him. And he went with Abraham. We read that later on in the book. And anybody else that would have went would have been okay. And he did take with him servants and other people who came out of Ur. But God's purpose was to give the world his son.
That's right. Amen.
And this would happen, as Matthew records for us in the first 17 verses. He goes over it twice. The lineage of Jesus Christ all the way from Abraham all the way up to King David, and from King David to Israel was deported into Babylon, and from that time until the birth of Christ.
Yes.
And that was 42 generations. So Jesus came out of the seed of Abraham after 42 generations. Now why did he come? This is the good part. He came because you and I are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Without him, we can't do anything.
Right.
But God loved us, and he wanted to make a way to save us, to bring us back close to him, so that we can know that he loves us. And that's the reason why this verse, which you already know, I'm assuming you know this, because it's the most famous Bible verse in the world, is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So Jesus came on a mission of salvation because he loves you just like you are.
Amen.
You know what? He won't leave us like we are. I'm thankful for that.
Thank goodness.
You know, because I used to be a lot different. I heard Dr. Adams say he used to be a lot different. You know, we didn't do everything right. You see, I don't do everything right now, today, truth be told. I wish I could tell you I'm pristine and perfectly holy and I do everything right. But that's not true. I don't want to lie to you in the house of God. But it's a good thing that God loved me anyway.
Yes.
He loves you anyway. I want you to know that.
Yes.
He loves you just like you are. He knows about all your faults.
Yes.
He knows about all your circumstances, all your conditions, everything you're dealing with. He knows about it. He loves you anyway. And he gave Jesus for you before you were born. So that when you trust in him and believe in him, guess what happens? He gives you perfect salvation.
Yes.
Perfect salvation. Jesus provides for everyone who believes in him perfect salvation. That means we're made instantly right with God by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And he did this through Abraham and through the Jews as we know them.
Yes.
He was so loved the world he had to make a way because God himself is holy. He is spotless. He is perfect. So salvation can't be based on good works.
That's right.
Because no one has perfect good works.
That's right.
There's not a soul on the planet who has perfect good works. Doesn't make any difference what kind of a fancy robe you put on, how many candles you light. God is not impressed. Doesn't make any difference if you walk around with smoking flax and all kinds of stuff. God is not impressed. It takes one sin to slam a person deeply into hell without Christ. But with Jesus, he covers you for every sin. That's why we call it gospel. It is good news that God loves us just like we are. But he loves us so much he won't leave us like we are. When you trust him and believe him and have a relationship with him and walk with him by faith, he will make adjustments in your life as the relationship grows. That's what church is for. We come to church to learn about God, learn his word. His spirit is given to you if you believe by faith with no changes. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is given to you immediately by God by faith alone.
That's right.
That's what the word says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. See? So he before ordained that you and I would walk in good works. That means I take you just like you are. Wherever you are, you don't have to change a thing. Just believe in my son. Believe I raised him from the dead. That's the reason you ought to believe in him. Because of the fact that he is the only one that has defeated the penalty for sin, which is death. No one else has in the history of mankind.
No one else.
I don't care who they are and what kind of story they have. If you didn't get out the grave, you don't have the answer. But Jesus was raised from the dead. Otherwise, there would be no church. And there's no proof that the solution for my sin has been provided except the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so because of that, he is the most famous person in the world. See, people don't have to believe it. But if you don't, it's going to be bad for you on Judgment Day. God wants you to believe it. That's the duty of the church, is to preach this to the ends of the earth. He said, go into all the world and teach all the nations. That means everybody, all the way around the globe. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Oh, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So that's the mission of the church. So that's what we want to know. That's the most basic thing. We want to tell you that today. Trust in God and believe in his Son. He loves you. You know how you know? Because he wrote it in the book. He loved Abraham. Abraham didn't earn God's favor. He was in the midst of sin, and God came to him and told him, come and follow me, and I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless the ones who bless you, curse the ones who curse you, and in your seed, that's Jesus Christ. He spoke of a seed, singular, shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
Yes.
And so that's our message. We come against every false system, because Jesus said there's only two ways that you can believe. You're in one group or the other. Either you believe him, that's the group of people being saved, or you're in the other group. Doesn't make any difference what you call it. The devil is confused. He's got 45,000 names for the other group. But there's only one group that's being saved. That's those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church is scared, much of it, scared to put it like that. Oh, that's not politically correct. That's offensive, Pastor. Well, I'm sorry. Jesus preached it. He told me to preach it, and I believe it. So I'm going to preach it with all authority. And I want you to know he loves you just like you are. That's why he died on the grisly cross. That's why he gave his hands to the nails. That's why they pierced him in the side, mocked him, spit up on him, ridiculed him, and they pierced him through the side. All of that was fulfillment of prophecy that he had written in the Bible. And he didn't do it for himself, but it was for himself. The Bible says this. In Hebrews 12, it says, was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. He hated that. It was an ugly thing he had to go through in order to deliver me and you from the penalty of death.
Amen.
But he did it because he loves you.
Yes.
See, it wasn't the nails, as people say, that held him on the cross.
No way.
It was his love for you. Amen. And his love for me. That's why he died.
Amen.
And then when they took him down from the cross, laid him in Joseph's borrowed tomb for 3 days and nights. And when he got up early on the first day of the week,
that's
when you know that the victory was his.
Yes.
That victory can be yours if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on.
And believe that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved.
Shall.
And in the very likeness of Abraham, you can be saved. God wants you to know it. Now, you know what? Once you trust Christ, I want to add this and I'm going to shut up. You say, go ahead, Pastor, shut up. I smell the food. Okay. But what I want you to know is once you trust God, the devil is going to be hot on your trail. That's what's going to happen. I want to warn you ahead of time. Because when you get out of his family and come into God's family, that's when he's going to really heat up the trail. But don't let that scare you, because the one who got up has authority over him, over the grave, over the devil, over principalities and power. All power was given to him. And he will be your Lord. That's what we want to ask you to do today. Amen. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. You're going to open the door to the church, which is a way of saying, if you want to come to Jesus Christ, come just like you are. He doesn't require you to change anything except what you believe about his son. I want to mention this. Somebody who was pretty equal throughout their entire life, and I realize he's not a black person, but I admire Dr. Billy Graham, who preached the gospel all of his life. He was one of very few preachers that didn't have any scandal in his life. Something somebody could accuse him of. See, because you know what? The devil's looking for stuff to accuse people of. He's called the accuser of the brethren. See, he wants to accuse you and make you feel guilty. But Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And he loves you just like you are. See, and you know, you can shame the devil right now today and say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And come forward and let the church know that you believe.
Amen.
We give you that opportunity at this time. If you're not saved, you can be saved right now. God wants you to be saved. He loves you.
Yes.
If you're already in the church and you'd like to partner with us here at St. Timothy,
yes.
We are a growing local body that believes exactly what God says in his word.
Yes.
And we're not ashamed to preach it and take the slack with whatever comes with that territory. I don't mind. I don't care. Jesus, look how humiliated and disgraced he was for me. I can't imagine that. If somebody just ripped your clothes off and pushed you out the door on the Dr. King Drive, that would be such a great shame and embarrassment. You might die just from the shame and the embarrassment. Not to mention take you and hang you up high where you can be seen over the crowd for miles, stripped of all your clothes, spit on you, rip your beard off, humiliated and disgusted. All of that he did. And he endured that. You know, that's the reason why we know he was God.
Oh, yes.
Who else could take that kind of abuse?
Nobody.
You know, if somebody slashed your wrist, you'll be dead in 2 or 3 minutes and nobody comes to get you.
Right.
So he was bleeding from all kinds of wounds on his whole body all night long from when they started to torture him on up until he hung on the cross and fulfilled everything that God promised in his word until he could say, it is finished.
Yes.
Done everything that's required. Everything you promised, Father, I have completed it. And it still was not dead. I always like to remind people the miracle of how Jesus bled. That was a miracle.
Yes, it was.
No human being could bleed like that.
Amen.
It was just a human being.
No way.
And the reason he did it was because he was God. He's the one who invented blood.
My Lord.
We were talking about that blood Elisa talked about earlier today. There's only two bloods, and one of them is the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
The other one is all equal.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? So I want to get into the blood of Jesus, that sanctified blood.
Yes.
They can wash away all your sins. They can lift you up out of the grave. They can promise you a hope in heaven.
Yes.
That's the only blood that can do
the
that.
Only blood.
And when we trust in him, the reason he got up, he wants you to know, even death, I've taken care of that for you. You don't have to even worry about death. See, he loves you just like you are. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. Father, somebody in the room has just understood the gospel today for the first time. And Father, we pray you save them right where they are, fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Cover and protect them, Lord. Let them know that you have always loved them. Whatever they're going through right now, God, promise and let them know that you will take them through, that they will have the victory, that all things that you promised in your word shall come to pass, and that they can be glad because their hope is in you, and that the blood of Jesus is against everything that stands against them. And we give you praise today, God. We give you honor today, God. We give you the glory today, God. And in the name of Jesus, we declare that those who trust in you have been saved right now under the sound of my voice, whether it be in this room or outside the room, anywhere where they hear this message. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. The church said together, amen. Give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And we hope that you will come back. We have prepared another message, but time does not allow us to do it today. But it is a good message. Amen. So I want to ask you all to, first of all, before we do that, let me not get ahead of myself. Let me thank again and welcome once again all the visitors who are here. We thank you so much for coming out today. And we hope you did get a good word from the message. And no matter what you do, trust Christ and believe him. When you do that, God puts your account at you are completely blessed. That means you are saved. You don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
God doesn't want you to be worried about where do I stand. He wants you to know that right now, if I trust Jesus, I'm good.
Amen.
Because Jesus does everything you need. There's nothing you need to add to it. Amen. So we said that. We want to thank you. If there's any visitor here who would like to have any words, we want to give you.